Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevomis Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Dalid. We left off our previous shiur in the middle of a discussion, and that should be of no wonder, very simply because, as we mentioned in our previous shiur, that we're in the middle of a sugya, of a discussion that lasts numerous dafim. It will take us till Daf Ches. Currently, we're dealing with the issue of why was it necessary for the Torah to use the word Aleha, as we spoke about in our previous shiur, to indicate that there is a prohibition of mitzvahs yibum when it involves an erva. In other words, without the special word Aleha to indicate the prohibition, I would have said, osi ase v'dochi lo ase. There is a power in a positive command, in this case the mitzvah of yibum, to supersede the negative command of the prohibition of intimacy with a forbidden relation, an erva. So we would have said, osi ase v'dochi lo ase. And therefore, the Torah, in order to prohibit the mitzvah of Yibum when there is an erva, used the word Aleha that we found in the context of Achos Isha. On the side of the Gemara, on the Daf Dalid, we have a Nosei Mivne heading. A bow tie appears, and you see an indication that on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, a second bow tie will appear. These are Makoros Sha'asei Doichelo Sa'aseh. We have to establish that there is a basis for saying a positive command supersedes a negative command in order for us to justify, as we said a moment ago, the need for Aleha to, in this case, to say otherwise, that we will not allow the positive command of Yibum to supersede the negative prohibition of Erva. So the Gemara answers. This is essentially an answer to the question that was raised at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. So how do you know this phenomenon of Asei Doichel Loisase in general? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says in Dvorim, and we emphasize Sefer Dvorim in this case, it says, Lo Silba Shatnes, Gedilim Taase Lucha. Do note, by the way, this is a long answer. The Torah says, You shall not wear Shatnes, which is a mixture of wool and linen. And the Pasuk goes on to say, Gedilim, this is a reference to Tzitzis. You shall make Tzitzis. From here, we see that the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is a positive command, overrules the prohibition of wearing mixed materials, wool and linen. In other words, you can have wool tzitzis that are tied into a linen garment, and that would be okay. In general, though, it's forbidden to wear a garment in which there is a mixture of wool and linen. So we continue with this pasuk, which said, Lo silba shatnes gidim ta'aseh lecha. On the side, there's a star where you see the continuation of the pasuk, Al arba kanfois ksuscha asher techaseh ba. On the four corners of your of a four-cornered garment, you shall place the gedilim. That's a reference to the tzitzis. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, Smuchin min haTorah minayin. From where do we know that we pay attention to proximity or juxtaposition of phrases in the Torah? That juxtaposition has significance. Shenemar smuchim lo'ad le'olam asuyim be'emes v'yosher. V'yomar Rav Sheshes Amar Rav Elazar Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azaria. Minayin liyavoma shenofla lefnei mukeshin. Actually, before we go too much further, the pasuk in Tehillim mentions that smuchim, those phrases that are near one another, were placed in the Torah deliberately, be'emes v'yosher, with truth and straightness. In other words, something that one must heed. And Rav Sheshes quotes Rav Elazar in the name of the Tana, Rav Elazar ben Azaria, minayin liyavoma shenofla lefnei mukeshin, shein choismin oisa. From where do we know that a man died without children, leaving a widow, and the surviving brother is a mukeshin? He's a person who's afflicted with body ailments, body boils. Someone with whom it's practically impossible to cohabit. In a case like that, we don't block her. Shein choismin oisa. We don't block her from marrying someone else. In other words, we don't force her into the yibum, even though that's who he is. He is a mukeshin. We don't force her into the yibum. Shenemar lo sachsom shor b'disho. One pasuk says, do not muzzle an ox when it is threshing grain. Allow the ox the option of eating from the grain it threshes. V'somichle, and next to it, it says, ki yeshvu achim yachtov. That's the parsha of Yibum. So that you see the concept of do not block in the context of Yibum. V'yomer of Yosef, afilu lemandalo dorish smuchim be'almo. Rav Yosef comments, even according to the Tana, that in general does not pay attention, does not reckon with proximity of verses. But Mishnah Torah means Sefer Dvorim, Dorish. Sefer Dvorim is called Mishnah Torah. That's another name for Sefer Dvorim. And we emphasized before that the din of tzitzis in Shatnez is from Sefer Dvorim. So that even the opinion, the Tanaic opinion that doesn't reckon with smuchim in general throughout the other four books of the Torah, when it comes to Mishnah Torah, when it comes to Sefer Dvorim, he will pay attention, he will reckon with it, assign significance to smuchim. And the Gemara makes that point now, to ha Rabbi Yehuda bi'almo lo dorish uva Mishnah Torah dorish. Rabbi Yehuda, he is an example of someone who in general does not darshan smuchim, but when it comes to Mishnah Torah, he does. And you'll notice as we go on in the Gemara, we have some markings. You have a house shape, and on the side of the Gemara, we indicate these are Makoros Shel Rabbi Yehuda, de Ba'alma Lo Dorish, smuchim uba Mishnah Torah, Kain Doresh. So notice here we have Uba Alma, then we underline Menolan de Lo Dorish, and a few lines later, Uva Mishnah Torah Menolan de Dorish. Where is there evidence of this as this being Rabbi Yehuda's approach? So in these two sources that are framed, you'll notice Rabbi Yehuda appears. So let's continue. Uba Alma Menolan de Lo Dorish. From where do we know that in general Rabbi Yehuda does not darshan smuchin outside of Mishnah Torah, outside of Devarim? Tesanya, we have a brisa, Rabbi Nazar Yomer Ne'emar Mechashefa Lo Sechayeh. This is from Sefer Shmois, and it says that a Mechashefa, this is a person, a woman engaged in black magic, is punishable by death. V'ne'emar Kol Sheichei V'Behemo Mois Yumos. Another pasuk says that anyone who cohabits with an animal shall be put to death. Samchu Inyan Lo. The two topics are put next to each other. Ma shechiv behema biskila, just like one who cohabits with a behema, with an animal, is punishable by death. Rashi gives the source for that. So too, af mechashefa biskila, so too mechashefa, where you don't see explicitly punishable by skila, all the pasuk says is lo sechayeh, she shall not be allowed to live, but you do not see the penalty with regard to the Mechashefa, but through Smuchin, we will assign stoning to the Mechashefa, to the black magic practitioner. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yehuda, addresses Ben Azai and says, V'chi v'pnei shesomchu inyon loy noitzi ze l'skila. He says, just on the basis of smichus, of proximity, will we apply the most severe form of execution to her? In other words, just because of signs of smuchin, that's not good enough reason to take someone who might not be guilty of the most serious form of punishment and then assign that to them. If you want to assign skila to a mechashefa, you better have you ought to have a better reason. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda does not regard smuchin as the basis for concluding issues. And of course, we're dealing with in Sefer Shmos, outside of Mishneh Torah. Ella, rather, there is, he agrees that there is skila for the mechashefa, but not because of smuchin. Ella, the reason mechashefa gets skila is as follows. There are different forms of black magic. Some of them are, one is called an oiv, another is called a yidoini. They're described in Maseches Sanhedrin as to what they actually do, but for our purposes they are forms of black magic and they're specified. Oiv and yidoni are details, are descriptions, are subcategories of mechashef. V'loma yotsu, why does the Torah specify them? And we should point out that when it comes to the oiv and yidoini, the Torah specifies stoning. Lehakish lahem, to compare to them, the loy marloch, and inform us, ma oiv yidoini beskila, just like oiv and yidoni get skila, and the Rashi quotes the posuk that says yirgemu oisam, that they shall be stoned. Af mechashefa b'skila, so too the mechashefa, other forms of kishuf, of black magic, are to be put to death through stoning. So now, according to Rebbe Yehuda, smuchin is not the method of coming to conclusions, but rather hekish, comparison, is a method of coming to the conclusion. Uva Mishneh Torah Menolan Dedorish. When it comes to Sefer Dvorim, where do we see this turnaround on the part of Rav Yehuda, that in that book of the Torah, in the fifth book of the Torah, Sefer Dvorim, there smuchin is a legitimate form of exegesis. Desnan Noise Odom Anusas Oviv Mufutas Oviv Anusas Beno Mufutas Beno. The Tanakhama says that it is okay for a man to marry the woman that his father either raped or seduced, or that his son raped or seduced. Rabbi Yehuda oiser banusas oviv umefutas oviv. Rabbi Yehuda says that a man cannot marry the woman that his father raped or seduced. The Omar Rav Gidol Omar Rav, my time with Rav Yehuda. Why does Rav Yehuda have this restriction? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, and note in Sefer Dvorim, it says Lo yikaf ish es eshes oviv, v'lo yigale knaf oviv. You have two psukim or two phrases. They're from in Dvorim Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Aleph, and Rav Yehuda learns knaf shero'a oviv. Lo yigale. The knaf. Now, in the context of this drasha, it's going to refer to the lady. But it's not clear from that word alone. And we're going to have to wait to see more about this. We're in the middle of a long answer. But it means, for our purposes, the woman that a man's father had revealed, you cannot reveal. So far, it's a little bit abstract. It's a little vague. Umimai devanusiksiv. How do you know that this pasuk of the lo yigale knaf oviv is a reference to a man's father's rape victim? Answer, mi'iluya dekra. Now here is the main thing. Iluya means from that which is above or preceded this particular pasuk. What preceded this pasuk? Dechtiv, it says at the end of Perek Chof Beis in Sefer Dvorim, Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Tes, v'nosan ho'ish ha'shoychev imo la'avi hana'aro hamishim kesef. This pasuk is in the context of oines. So you see that the topic of oness, of rape, is referred to just before our pasuk of lo yigale knaf oviv. So you have pasuk choftes saying v'nosan oisha shechim mo avi anar hamishim kosef, which is a pasuk that deals with rape. The somich lei, and next to it says lo yikach ish v'lo yigale knaf oviv. So you see, smichus, proximity, is being darshened by Rebbe Yehuda. And that's why in this long answer, you'll notice we've dashed underlined Rebbe Yehuda's name in the source, and we dashed underlined v'somich lei, that Rebbe Yehuda regards smichus. V'rabbonon, here the Gemara asks, what about the Rabbonon that don't object to a man marrying his father's rape victim? After all, the Rabbonon do subscribe to smuchin as a form of exegesis. The Gemara explains, v'Rabbonon, their response, I have somech lei, if lo yigale knaf oviv would have been literally next to the posuk of oines, of v'nosani sheichivimo ki de koamris, then I would agree with what you have said. Hashto delo somichle, it's not actually next to it, because, and you can see this if you look at the quotes in the Gemara carefully, before the phrase of v'lo yigale knaf oviv, there was an interruption where it said lo yikach ish es eshes oviv, that a person is warned against marrying his father's wife. That has nothing to do with rape. So since that appears in the middle, b'shemeres yovam hakosuv medaber. So the posik of a lo yigale knaf oviv is not referring to a rape victim of one's father, but rather it's referring to a shemeres yovam, where a man who has a son, well, his brother died childless, so a person is not to take as a wife the woman that's waiting for his father to miyabein. The lavor olov bishnei lavin, and if one were to do so, he would be guilty of two negative commands. In the absence of a Rashi commentary on this particular point, it would seem to me that the two lavim would be this posuk of lo yigale and the posuk of lo tia eshes hameis achutza, which is a general prohibition for someone else to marry a shemeres yavam, a woman who is waiting for ibum. So that would account for the two lavim, and that's the shita sarabonon with regard to how to approach lo yigale knaf oviv. Uva mishnah Torah, my time of the dorish. With regard to shitas Rebbe Yehuda, why here does Rebbe Yehuda place a premium on smuchin? On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei mivneh heading. The nosei is the topic heading with a mivneh structural note. you notice that we have a crown shape, and we've written Loma Dorish Smuchin. We deal with Banusas Aviv, the discussion just now involving the rape victim of one's father, and Betzitzis Bekilayim, Shatnez, Kigon, Chutin Shel Tzemer Bebeged Pishton. So once again, why, if Reb Yehuda in general has a negative or a non-premium attitude placed on Smuchin, why in Mishneh Torah does he in fact place a premium on Smuchin? And we saw this in the context of Anusas Aviv, and we saw this with regard to Shatnez and Tzitzis. The Gemara continues, Uba Mishneh Torah Mai Taimo D'Dorish, with regard to Anusas Aviv, what motivates Reb Yehuda to place a premium on Smuchim and Darshan that? Iboy Esemo Mishum D'Muchach, Viboy Esemo Mishum D'Mufni, two approaches, and we'll explain them as we go along. And the Gemara goes over these phrases, Iboy Esemo Mishum D'Muchach. The term demuchach means it's obvious, it's implausible otherwise. The im kain, if the pasuk was coming to add lavim, then lichteve rachmono gabi arayis, then the pasuk of lo yigale knaf aviv should have been written in the parsha of forbidden relations. Rashi here makes reference to the prohibition of Eishes Aviv marrying one's father's wife. Likewise, marrying a woman that is destined to marry one's father would fall under the same general category. So the Lo Yigale Posuk should have been written where the Torah prohibits other forbidden relations. Therefore, since Lo Yigale Knaf Oviv was not written over there, it indicates what Reb Yehuda claims about a prohibition of marrying a woman that one's father raped. So that we pay attention to the proximity here and not the way the Rabbonon had darshened the Pasuk. I should point out that regarding the Shitas Rabbonon that said V'lavoro B'shnei Lavin, in addition to Shomeres Yavam of Aviv, we said that this is coming to include an additional lav, in addition to the lav of Lo Tia Eishes Hameis Achutza. The commentaries point out that there is also a lav, a negative command of Doidoso, of this woman, the Shomeres Yavam of his father, was his father's brother's wife, which is also an Isur Arayas, a prohibited relation. So the Rabbanan had claimed that if this Pasuk of Lo Yigale Knaf Oviv was coming to add an additional lav for taking a woman that was one's father's brother's wife, it should have been written in the section of the Torah which deals with forbidden relations. As far as Reb Yehuda is concerned, what motivates him to darshan smuchin in Mishneh Torah? So we just pointed out that that was in fact Reb Yehuda's position, that if it was coming for the purpose of an additional lav, it should have been written there in Parshas Arayas, and it wasn't written there. It's written over here in Sefer Dvorim, not in Parshas Arayas. Parshas Arayas is found in Achrimos and in Kedoshim and Sefer Vayikra. The fact that it's written over here shows me that we are to darshan smuchin. and leading, of course, to the conclusion that the pasuk is of Lo Yigale Knafofiv is talking about the prohibition of a son marrying the rape victim of his father. We should point out, maybe it's obvious, that has nothing to do with Parshas Arayis, because a rape victim is not someone who was ever married to the father. V'iboy esema mishum demufni. Another reason for Rabbi Yehuda to pay heed to the smuchin in Mishneh Torah with regard to Anusas Aviv is because it is mufni. It is available for a drasha. The im kain, if it wasn't to be darshan, lichtoi brachmona, the posuk should have said, lo yikach ish es eshes oviv. Lo yigale knaf oviv lomali. Why this extra phrase? This extra phrase is as it would appear to be simply extra, unless you can say that it's referring to anusas oviv. If it were simply, as the Rabbanan said, an additional prohibition of taking a woman that is destined to one's father, so you would not have needed this particular phrase. The phrase is seemingly extra. Other than, as Rabbi Yehuda says, it's here to tell me to darshan smuchin. Shma mino lafnuyeh. It is then, as we Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, this is proof that it is available. And Rashi says at the top, La'anusa, La'anusosa shel Oviv, Diyolif mismuchin deli'el. Continuing, notice the second crown shape at the top of Amud Beis. This is the second example of smuchin in Sefer Dvorim that Rabbi Yehuda will darshan, and the Gemara shows why. The Gabi Tzitzis Nami, with regard to the Tzitzis Drosha, namely Tzitzis and Shatnez, that it's mutter to have Tzitzis in a Tzitzis made of wool in a linen four-cornered garment. Iboy Esema Mishum Demuchach, Viboy Esema Mishum Demufna. The same two types of reasoning. Iboy Esema Mishum Demuchach, you might say because it's obvious, the im kain lichtevei rachmono gabi parsha sisis lamai hilchisa kasve hocha. If the posuk of gedilin tase lecha was simply a mitzvah concerning making of tzitzis, so it shouldn't have been written over here in Sefer Dvarim. It should have been written in the Parsha of the Torah that deals with the making of tzitzis, which is in Parsha Shlach of Sefer Bamidbar. What is it doing over here? So it must be to clue me in or to draw my attention to the fact that it's somuch, that it's next to the pasuk which forbids shatnez, and to tell me that the asay of tzitzis overrules the negative command of shatnez. B'boy esema, mishum demufne. The other reason for darshaning the smuchin in the case of tzitzis is because it is available. It's an extra pasuk. Mufne means it's available by virtue of the fact that otherwise it would appear to be extra. And you can't have things that are extra superfluous in the Torah. Notice we have a triangle marking scheme, a ma'akav, as we call it on the side of the under the Mivneh heading. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a back and forth, give and take type discussion with the triangle point facing upwards. Haychocha de mufna. It's evidence that it's extra. In other words, extra with the purpose of telling me to darshan smuchin. With the triangle inverted, that represents a challenge to this proof. So the Gemara continues. B'iboy esema mishum demufne. Michti kosav uveged kilayim shatnez lo ya'ale olecha. The pasuk says in Vayikra that you shall not wear shatnez garments. Lo silba shatnez loma li. The pasuk here in Dvorim that says do not wear shatnez, why is it repeated here in Dvorim Perichov Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph? the Torah already prohibited the wearing of shatnez, mixed material garments. Shma mino la'afnuye. It is therefore evidence that the pasuk here in Dvarim Chof Beis is extra. And when we say extra, means it's extra and available for placing emphasis on the proximity of the pasuk, leading me to the conclusion that if you have tzitzis in a mixed material garment, that's okay. The Gemara responds and says, not so, it's not mufne, hani, mitzrach, tzrichi. These psukim, the posuk in Vayikra that said, ubeged kilayim shatnez lo yal alecha, and the posuk in Dvarim, lo silba shatnez, both psukim which are negative commands with regard to mixed wool linen garments, are both necessary, and hence the pasuk in Dvarim is not available to teach me about smuchin and the mitzvah and the asay of tzitzis being doicha the loisase of shatnez. How is it then that they're both necessary? The Gemara proves it. Di kasav rachmano lo yale olecha. Had the Torah stated just that shatnez should not be upon you, havamina, I would have thought kol derech halo osa rachmona, that any form of shatnez being upon you is forbidden from the Torah. Vafilu mochrei ksus, even people that are garment vendors. A garment vendor, the tendency of these people, if you can imagine, peddlers, they might wear several garments one upon the other, only to ease their transportation of those items. They're not wearing a garment, several garments one upon the other because it adds to their personal comfort. So they have no, let's say, clothing intention when they are wearing these garments as peddlers, as mochrei ksus. Had the Torah written lo yal alecho, I would have thought that it would be forbidden even for the mochrei ksus, the garment vendors, that they would be prohibited in wearing shatnez garments as they are peddling them. And we know that's not true. It's actually allowed. How do you know it's allowed? Kosav rachmono lo silba shatnez. The Torah writes in Dvarim, lo silba shatnez dumya de levisha, that the prohibition of shatnez being upon you is only if it's upon you, like in the case of wearing a garment, the is be hano, where you have pleasure from it. So any form of pleasure derived from shatnez is prohibited, in the sense of, let us say a person has a blanket that he covers himself that's made of shatnez, so that would come under the prohibition of lo yale olecha, it's upon you, and you get benefit from it, as you do by worn clothing. Not so in the case of mochrei ksus, where it is upon them, but it's not for any clothing-based benefit. V'ikos av rachmona lo silvash, had the Torah written just that, havamina davka levisha, only where you are wearing a garment, putting your hands into the sleeves or your legs into legs of the pants, the nofish hanyasa, where you have a large amount, a lot of pleasure from it. Avol halalo, but simply draping over you some shatnez material, where it's not the same level of pleasure as wearing the garment, I might have thought that's not prohibited. Kosav rachmona lo yale alecha. Therefore, you need the pasuk of lo yale as well to expand the prohibition to any form of shatnez being upon you, even if it's not in the form of wearing it. So, what have we shown? That the two psukim are necessary in order to define the parameters of the shatnez prohibition. If that be the case, I don't see the proof to Darshan Smuchin. The Gemara responds, there is proof. to Darshan Smuchin from the Mufne standpoint. Mufne being the pasuk, there is an extra element here. Im kein lichtei brachmona lo silba shatnez. If the Torah was simply telling me the parameters of the prohibition of shatnez, it would have said just that, lo silba shatnez. Tsemer upishtim lomali. Why does the Torah spell out tsemer upishtim as well? Tsemer is wool, pishtim is linen. Michti. And you'll ask, well, how would I know wool and linen? The answer is, I would know that from a different source. Michti kosav uveged kilayim shatnez lo yale olecha. You see, in the context of shatnez, the word beged. That is a clue to wool linen. The Tana debay Rabbi Yishmael, hayol v'nemru b'teira stam begodim. Since you find the word begodim in an unqualified fashion throughout the Torah, uporat lo hakosav be'echo me'am tsemeru pishtim, and in one instance the Torah spells out tsemer upishtim, af kol tsemer upishtim, so too wherever you see the word beged or begodim, it means just tsemer upishtim. Therefore, tsemer upishtim, because of Rachman Olomali, why here in the case of shatnez does the Torah, after using the word beged, spell out tsemer upishtim? It's unnecessary. Shma mino lafnuye. It shows me that there is an extra element in these psukim. The posuk in Sefer Dvorim, by adding the words tsemer upishtim, which really wasn't necessary, shows me that it is extra. Notice the inverted triangle. This is a challenge to our claim that the pasuk is mufne. Va'akati itzterich. I still need the psukim for the dinim of shatnez itself, and it's not available for darshaning smuchin to allow tzitzis in shatnez. Salka daita chamina, ha'alo hi delo nofish hane'osa. Avo levisha, the nofish hane'osa, kolshrei minei osir. The pasuk had to spell out semer upishtim, because if it didn't, I would have thought that when it comes to halal, where you're draping yourself, literally halal means going up upon, it means the fabric, the shatnez fabric is upon you, in a non-wearing of clothing fashion, as we said before, a blanket possibly. So where it's draped over you, or placed upon you, where you don't have a lot of hanah, so then the prohibition is limited to tsemer upishtim, wool and linen, avol levisha, but wearing, the nofish hanah, so nofish means there is a lot of hanah, benefit or pleasure, kol trei mini osa rachmana, all mixture of garments, cotton and silk, for example, I would have thought is forbidden. Kosav rachmana, tsemer upishtim. The Torah therefore had to write in the context of Dvorim, Perichov Beis, Pasuk Yudalev, which we thought was an extra Pasuk. No, it's not extra. It's needed to tell me that even when it comes to Levisha, the prohibition of Shanis is limited to wool and linen. The Gemara responds, Im Kain, if that was really an argument, Lishtoik Kro mine, the pasuk could have remained silent with regard to mentioning tsemer upishtim, not mention it at all. Vitesi shatnez mehalal, and darshan a word comparison between the pasuk of wearing and the pasuk of halal in Vayikra, and in the pasuk of halal, tsemer upishtim is mentioned. So, by virtue of the fact that you had the option of learning this din of the limitation of tsemer upishtim through a shatnez gezeira shava, without resorting to the words Semer Upishtim. It therefore reveals to us that Semer Upishtim really is extra and available for our purpose of darshaning smuchin. For the sake of accuracy, let us just clarify this last point. We mentioned that with regard to the pasuk in Vayikra Yutes, the pasuk dealing with halah, Semer Upishtim is mentioned. It's not mentioned explicitly, but it's mentioned by virtue of the fact that the word beged appears there. And beged, we already explained, according to the Tanur Beis Shmuel, means Semer Upishtim. So it would have been enough to have the pasuk in Vayikra, Ubeged kilayim shatnez lo yalo lecha, and then when it says lo silba shatnez in Dvorim perik chof beis pasuk yud aleph, where you don't have the word beged, I understand though that shatnez means tzemer upishtim by virtue of the word beged in sefer Vayikra. So you have beged in Vayikra, which means tzemer upishtim, and you've got the word shatnez in both psukim in Vayikra yutes and in. But in Dvorim Chof Beis, I would have known Tzemer Upishtim by Levisha anyway. So why does the Torah spell out Tzemer Upishtim? So the Gemara's point right now is, that shows me it's La'afnuye, it's extra and proof that I darshan smuchin. The Gemara continues, we have a new marking, and we've glance at the side under the Mivneh heading where a house shape appears, and it's here and will appear in alternating directions. It's a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take style. So with the point facing up that represents Kushios Altona de Bishmael, the Tanyin that Semu Pishtim Miutar Kedei Lulameid HaHetir Shel Kilayim B'tzitzis Ha Balav Hochi Hayisi Yodea Heter Zeh. According to the Tana de Beir Bishmael, the term Tzemer Upishtim is necessary to tell me about the Heter of Kilayim B'tzitzis. The question will be, but even without that, even without Tzemer Upishtim, I would have known the Heter. The inverted house represents tshuvos, responses, answers to Tzrichi L'Tzemer Upishtim L'Lmoid Heter Zeh. I really do need Tzemer Upishtim. So the Gemara itself now opens with a question. Notice it's a long question. V'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. And notice the arrow. It can be aligned with the arrow a few lines up where Tana Beis Shmuel was introduced. The Tana Beis Shmuel literally is the school, the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. And we're asking on what they said. The Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, Taimo de Kosav Rachmona Tzemer Pishtim. The reason that Kilayim B'tzitzis is mutter is because of those seeming extra words. Olav Hochi. Without that, Kilayim B'tzitzis Havamina de Osa Rachmona. Would I have thought that the Torah prohibits it? For Hoksiv. But the pasuk says, "Ve'asu lohem tzitzis al kanfei bigdehem." This is the pasuk that we are familiar with from Kriyat Shema, from Parshas Shlach, where the Torah commands the making of tzitzis to be placed on the corners of bigdehem. V'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel kol bigodim tzemer upishtim heim. Wherever you see the word bigodim, it means wool and linen. The Omar Rachmana Ovid Lei Tcheles. The Pasuk says that there's a Psil Tcheles that's placed on the corners of the garment. Tcheles equals Amrohu. Tcheles is wool. It's dyed wool. Tcheles being a dye that's in the realm of a blue color, bluish color, dyed wool. So what is the Torah saying? It's saying that you're going to have a psil tcheles in bigdehem, and bigdehem includes linen. So we see that there's a heter of shatnez without writing Tzemer Upishtim. So once again, why did the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel above claim that I know the Heter because of the words Tzemer Upishtim that were in Dvorim Perek Chof Beis? Even without that, I know the Heter of Shatnez. The Gemara will answer that two lines from here. You see the inverted house marking. But before we get to that, the Gemara interrupts with a, just to point out the assumption that we made that Tcheles is wool. Umimai de Tcheles Amruhu. How do you know that Tcheles is a reference to wool? Answer, Midashesh Kisna, from the fact that Shesh, which is a word that you find in the Torah with regard to garments, that is linen. Tcheles equals Amrohu. Tcheles then, we'll say by default, is wool. The Rashi explains in the upper part of the Rashi commentary, Utcheles Amro, Midashesh Kisna, from the fact that the word Shesh is linen, Dichtiv, Michnese Bad Shesh Moshzor, Ubad Hainu Pishtim. The word, it said, Michnase Bad Sheish, and the word Bad is clearly a reference to linens, Kidem Forish, Beboloi Kengolo, Bemasechas Yuma. Bad, it's explained in Masechas Yuma, in that parak of Bolo Kengolo, that's the name of the parak. Bad, the word Bad in the Torah equals Dobra Oila Bad Bevad, something that grows individually as the linen grows and flax reeds, flax reeds emerge from the ground as individual reeds. So Tcheles equals Amro. Tcheles is therefore wool. V'chein shar tzvoim umura bebigdei kuna argumon v'tolashoni. The other colored garments, they're really dyes, argumon and tolashoni, are also forms of dyed wool. She'ein big dekuna elo mitzemer upishtim. The parsha that we just referred to in Shmos Perek Lamites deals with the clothing of the kohanim. Clothing of the kohanim are made only from those materials. Semer upishtim dechtiv b'sefer Yecheskel biyom haKippurim big dekpishtim yilbashu v'lo yal aleihem tzemer. So you see from Sefer Yecheskel that the big dekuna described as either linen or wool. Shma mino shavodas hachitzenis yesh pehem tzemer im pishtan v'lo min acher, and no other material. U'midimeforish kros sheish be'echod min aminim shma mino shar aminim tzemer hu hoyu. From the fact that the Torah specifies sheish with regard to one of them, the other materials therefore must be wool. And that's what we mentioned before, out of default. So at this point, we have our question. According to the Tana de Beir Bishmuel, why do they say that I need Tzemer Upishtim to tell me about the heter of Shatnez in Tzitzis when I could have figured that out from the Pasuk in Parsha Tzitzis and Bamidbar Perek Tezvav? Answer, Istrich, I need Tzemer Upishtim. I need those words to through which to derive the heter of Shatnez in Tzitzis. Salka Daita Chamino. Had I not had those words, Kidarova, I would have thought to approach the psukim in Bamidbar as Rava Darshans. The Rava Romi. Rava, in looking at these psukim, he raised what would appear to be an inconsistency or a contradiction. Ksiv hakonof, it says in the Torah, in Parshat Tzitzis, says that word, min konof, which would mean that the material that you use for the tzitzis must correspond to the material of the garment in which they would be placed. Uksiv, and another pasuk says, Tzemer Upishtim, that tzitzis are made of wool or linen, which would indicate that that tzitzis must be made of those materials, and not the material of which the garment is made. Okay, so how do you resolve these two psukim according to Rava? Tzemer upishtim, potrin bein b'minon bein shelo b'minon. According to Rava, wool and linen strings, tzitzis, will fulfill the mitzvah, whether the garment is made of those materials or made of any other material. So that tzemer upishtim is a universal tzitzis material. Sha'ar minim, let's say cotton strings, b'minon potrin, shelo b'minon ein potrin. Cotton strings will be able to be used only in a cotton garment, not in a non-cotton garment. So that is what I would have thought had I not had the words tzemer upishtim. Comes along the Tanna Rebbe Shmuel, though we have translated the Gemara till this point, in order to gain an accurate appreciation of what was said, we must go over the Gemara again, but this time with the Rashi commentary. The term tzemer upishtim, is it really extra? The Gemara claimed in our last inverted house that tzemer upishtim is not extra. And hence the claim above that the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel needed tzemer upishtim, and that it is mufne, is brought into question. The Gemara here at the inverted house is saying that tzemer upishtim is really necessary to teach me the heter. By saying that I really do need tzemer upishtim, we are responding to the question that was raised, wouldn't I know kilayim b'tzitzis anyway from the posuk in Bamidbar v'oslem tzitzis al kanfei b'gdehem? So the Gemara is saying, no, I need tzemer upishtim. Salko daito chamino kidurava. Had I not had tzemer upishtim, had I just had the psukim in Bamidbar perek tezvov, I would have thought to approach the topic of tzitzis kidurava. And here we look at Rashi. Salko daito chamino kidurava. Ilo kosav rachmona tzemer upishtim. Havedarshinon. I would have approached the psukim like Rava does. Hakonof, mean that word hakonof is from the parsha of tzitzis in Kriyashma in Bamidbar. Min konof kerova. Min konof means that the tzitzits must reflect the type of garment in which they're placed. Lameimar de lebeget pishtim asay pishtan, a garment made of linen, make linen strings. Uletzemer, a garment made of wool, asay tzemer, make woolen strings, v'tzavei tchelas, and dye them wool, dye them tchelas color. Avol kilayim lo, but there's no heter of mixing linen and wool with regard to tzitzis. Komash malon, drosha de smuchin, the drosha of smuchin comes to tell me dafilu kilayim, v'hochi havei maskona de milsa, and that is in fact the approach that the Tana Rebbe Rabbi Shmuel takes at the end of the day. Now you'll notice in our Gemara markings we have the brackets that we didn't mention earlier, but the brackets that you see are because Rashi points out that the Gemara departs from the back and forth discussion to elaborate on what Rava's own drasha was. And Tosfos points out, Salkadei techamina kidurava, Tosfos in the wide lines under the Gemara, he says, Lav dafka, when the Gemara says that I would have thought that Tanna Mishmael holds like Rava, it doesn't mean exactly that he holds like Rava. The Rava, I rebosser dechtiv tzemer upishtim. Rava's drasha is that's in the brackets is after tzemer upishtim appears. Vahashto Iri, and at this point in the Gemara, before the brackets, when the Gemara says Kisakadaito Chamino Kidarava, the Gemara is speaking Ilo Kosav Tsemer Upishtim. Had the Torah not written Tsemer Upishtim, what would I have thought? Eloklima Kidiyuka de Rava. The thought is like Rava's diuk, in the way Rava uses or approaches the word Hakonof on its own. So Tana the Beis Shmuel would have, without Semer Pishtim, thought that that you are to make tzitzis using strings matching the garment in which they are placed. So just to review the last point, according to Tana Rishmuel, Semer Pishtim is necessary for teaching me the heter of shatnez in tzitzis. Without Tzemer Upishtim, I would have thought that you would darshan the Pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar like Rava darshans. The Gemara, now, after the brackets, the house is, again, point-facing up. The Gemara says, how could you say that the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rava? How could you have had such a havamin, a thought to say that? For Tanur Beis Shmuel less lay the Rava, but the Tanur Beis Shmuel doesn't hold by Rava whatsoever. What do we mean by that? Rava happens to say that that garments made of other materials are chayav in tzitzis, provided you make the tzitzis out of material that matches those garments. So if you have a silk garment, make silk strings. If you have a cotton garment, use cotton strings. But the Tana Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold by Rava. Tana Rabbi Shmuel holds that only wool or linen garments need tzitzis. So how can you say above that I would have thought that Tana Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rava when they patently disagree? The Gemara says, Itzterich. I still need the Tzemer Upishtim to dispel what I have a mina, something I would have thought. Salka daita chamina ki diyuka de Rava. I would have thought that the Tana Beir Shmuel accepts Rava's careful reading of the Parsha, of Shema, of the Parsha of Tzitzis. Hakonof, min konof, when the Pasuk says that you shall place tzitzis on the kanaf, on the corner of your garments, I would have thought that it means that the tzitzis must be like the material of the garment. V'ochikom rachmona, ovid lei, tzemer letzemer, upishtim lepishtim. Make wool strings for a wool garment. Make linen strings for a linen garment. V'chi avidas tzemer letzemer, tzav e. And when you make woolen strings for a woolen garment, then you are to dye it blue. Avol tzemer lepishtim, upishtim letzemer lo. But to suggest wool strings in a linen garment or linen strings in a wool garment, no, I wouldn't have thought that. Kosav Rachmona, therefore the Torah writes tzemer upishtim, da'afilu tzemer lepishtim, upishtim letzemer, that you have a right to put woolen strings in a linen garment and linen strings in a woolen garment. And all of this shows me not to lose sight of the large picture that Semer Pishtin, which is found in Sefer Dvorim, tells me to darshan smuchin. And that, of course, was the theme of this discussion. How do we know, according to Rebbe Yehuda, that in Mishneh Torah you darshan smuchin? And of course, the larger picture beyond that is that from darshaning smuchin we have a source that asay doicha loisa asay, that a positive command can overrule or supersede the negative command. Positive command of tzitzis overrules or supersedes the negative command of Shatnez. So we have a basis, we have a precedent for Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh, and that ties us into the bigger picture of why I need the word Aleha to tell me that in when it comes to Yibum, we don't apply the rule of Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh. As we mentioned already numerous times, this is a very long, we're in the middle of a very long discussion, and we've come to the end of the Omid, realizing, of course, that we're in the middle of a discussion. So, that having been said, before we conclude today's shir, let us remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.